this podcast, I'd like to talk to you about a general understanding of how to train, kind of the progression, the stages of training that you would work through that are both developing your skill and your fitness. So let's say you want to increase your skill in a certain way. There's something about the stroke that you want to fix that you believe is going to make it better for you. And then you also realize, but I want to be faster, or I want to be stronger, I want to swim longer distance. And you know the technique ties into that as well, or at least making that more enjoyable for you, or feeling better in the body. What I want you to realize is that in swimming, technique and fitness are never separated. They're always operating together. That anytime you're moving your body in a repetitious way, repetitive way, that you are using movement patterns, and your brain is etching that movement pattern. A little side note here, people, and I've spoken about this in a previous podcast, people are worried, well, I don't want to be practicing the wrong thing. That's why, you know, I know I'm moving all the time and I'm going to be practicing a habit. If it's already a habit, if it's already the way you swim, then don't worry about it. It's just the way you swim. If you're focused on another piece and you're not addressing that part of the stroke that you want to see change, but that thing that you want to see change is already a habit, it just is a program that exists. And if you're not ready to work on it, it's not time to work on it, just let it be. It'll be there, it'll keep functioning, but when you're ready to focus on it, you'll focus on it and you'll make a change. But right now you need to use it because you're focused on something else and you can't do all of it at once. So just let go of that for a little bit. There's more on that. Your ability to just change something in your stroke itself is a skill. And so the more that you practice just changing and altering and adjusting and imprinting new movement patterns, you'll get better and better at the process of changing. And so when it does come time to fix something in your stroke that's a habit that you want a new habit for, it'll be easier for you to do that. So don't worry about it if you're not able to get to a certain part of your stroke yet. Just set it aside. Let your body use it for now while you're working on something else. So anyways, back to our original topic. When you're looking at developing both fitness and technique together, they are both operating together. You're doing both together at the same time, but you can't really focus on both at the same time very easily. And this is where I think traditional and conventional swimming, the way they try to solve this is they like, all right, they want to get you strong first, and then they work on technique, and hoping that, all right, now that you're strong, now you can then, you know, divert some of that strength into working on technique. They get it right in the sense that you have to emphasize one or the other, but they get it wrong in the order of working on those. So what we want to do is we need to work on the circuitry of movement first, and then we build strength around that circuitry. Whereas in conventional swimming, build strength, and then they try to thread new wires through that strength when the strength has already built itself around the old wires, the dysfunctional movement patterns. And that doesn't work so well. And that's why only a few swimmers in the population actually get it, and most people don't, because that's not the way the brain and the body develop powerful, complex movement skills. Okay? Got to do the movement patterns first, then you build strength around the movement patterns. So, imagine a funnel. And there's three layers to the funnel, starting from the top where it's wide, and the second layer in the middle as it's narrowing down, and then the third layer at the very bottom where it's most narrow, where it's coming out, and that is, okay, that's the third layer. And then you have a little spigot at the bottom where the stuff comes out, your or water comes out. And our performance system is, I like to view it as divided into these three layers, and they have a certain order to them. So if you want to perform, performance is what comes out of the funnel, and what you pour into it is energy. And when you're pouring energy into your system, the first thing that it goes through is metabolism. It has to take energy, the body has to take energy and convert it. It takes fuel and converts it into useful energy. So it takes one form of energy, converts it into another form of energy that your body can actually use. The second layer is your muscle system, your subsystem. So the muscles receive the energy, useful energy, and they convert it into power. So now mechanical power, that now you can generate force and direct that force, okay? You can generate force. The third layer, very bottom of that funnel, right before you actually have performance, is the motor system, or the neural circuitry, the neuromuscular system, okay? So obviously the muscles, the first part, the second layer, the neural part is the third layer, and that is the final constraint on whether you actually perform better or not perform better. So you can pour fuel into the system, metabolism can convert it into energy, the muscles can take the energy and convert it into power, and then your neural system knows what to do with that power. It knows which muscles to activate, when to activate them, and just how much to activate them to create effective movement that gets you going in the direction you want to go. Now, one viewpoint, the old system thinks, well, if I want to get a better, you know, be a better runner, better swimmer, better whatever, I got to have big metabolism, and then once I got metabolism, then I have bigger muscles, and once I got bigger muscles, then I can work on technique. The problem is that's backwards, because even to move the body's already going to convert energy, and it's going to move muscles, but the body doesn't know how to move when it's a new activity. So the thing is, when you are going to develop new skill and performance, you've got to start with the motor system, with the neural system first. You've got to etch the patterns. So let's think of different analogies. Like in a piece of metal or a silicon chip or whatever, they need to etch the pathways for the circuits. So they have little instruments that go in there and very carefully etch into the metal, create grooves, or etch into the silicon. Or like the road I'm driving on right now, the highway, you know, over traffic drives on this year after year with water and sleet and snow in the winter and studded tires, and it starts to develop ruts in the road. And as those ruts get deeper, then when you're driving along, those ruts pull your car into it. And your car just wants to travel in those ruts. Well, we think of ruts in a negative way. You know, ruts on a muddy trail that dry, and then you're riding your bicycle on that trail, and you know, you have to be careful that your wheels will fall into those ruts and you can fall over. Well, there's the negative side of ruts, but there's the positive side of ruts. So think of train tracks or ancient cart lines where they used to actually carve ruts to make it easier for them to pull heavy carts over distance. So that the carts didn't wobble or go off track. So what we want to do is we want to etch ruts into the pathway so that our body will easily do the correct movement pattern without us really having to think about it, because the ruts are so deep, so that we can click in to that mode, that movement pattern, and then just unload it and rely upon it. So that's why we want to set the wires first. We want to slow things down, be careful about our movements, kind of get the choreography going, build our awareness and that control. And so there is a season of slowing things down and letting, you know, and doing drill work and slower stroke work so that we can start to get those initial ruts etched into the surface and then start working those. Now, if you've ever seen a a washed out canyon, somewhere where water has done its work upon the landscape. At one point, the land was fairly flat, and then water came along, and it was finding the path of least resistance downhill, and so it's traveling down, 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 and it grabs dirt as it goes along, and it starts carving into the dirt, and it starts creating these mini canyons, micro canyons, and then those micro canyons turn into mini canyons, and the mini canyons turn into little gullies, and then the gullies turn into bigger, you know, little canyons, and then eventually they turn into the Grand Canyon, because water just keeps on flowing through that system. So think of the micro valley, micro gully, as your initial etching process, kind of getting that etch going, and it's going in the direction that you want it to go. You've been intentional about setting the course of that valley in a certain way. But then the second stage of training is to start doing work that causes your muscles to strengthen around that particular movement pattern. So you do need to start swimming longer repeats and more repeats and longer distances to just get stronger. You're not at this stage thinking about swimming faster or under more intense conditions other than just swimming longer distances. I mean, you can do other stuff with moderation, but the main idea is you just need to become stronger. And that, in equivalent to our analogy there, is like running more water through that little micro canyon that turns it into a mini canyon, that turns it into a gully, that turns it eventually into a big canyon, that turns it into a Grand Canyon. Just by running more strength through that, more effort. When I say more effort, I mean more prolonged effort. So before, you were swimming 25s and 50s and you were trying to be really ultra careful and not make any mistakes and trying to be very consistent. That was good. But now you need to like lower your standard just a little bit to like 90% perfection, 85%. And then you just need to swim longer distances. Okay, now it's time to bump up to hundreds, 150s, 200s, and do repetitions. And coming to the place where your muscles feel tired. Not only is your mind having to concentrate, but your muscles are now coming to a place where, all right, you've worked that pattern and you're getting tired physically working that pattern. And your muscles are gonna start getting stronger around the specific movement pattern. That's the key. You're not merely working muscles, you're working muscles in a very specific, precise, and consistent way. So the muscles will, the muscle grouping, the team of muscles are going to learn their roles and become strong in their specific roles to support that specific movement pattern. That's the key to this stage, the strength stage of your training. In the previous stage, in the neural stage, you were training in such a way to come to neural fatigue, where your attention gets tired, where your ability to maintain precision is starting to get tired. And that's when you know it's time to quit for the day. But as that gets stronger, as your attention gets stronger, as your ability to execute precision and consistent precision gets stronger, then it's time to activate more muscle usage over distance to get the muscles strong around that pattern. Okay? So stage one is the neural strengthening. Stage two, excuse me, stage two is the muscular strengthening. And then stage three is where you're going to increase power. You're going to build up more power, which translates into more speed. And in this stage, now you're starting to create workouts that provoke you to have to work at higher intensities. So it could be in open water where you're having to work in waves or colder water or more in more intense conditions, swimming against currents. In the pool, it would mean working at longer stroke lengths than are comfortable and at faster tempos than are comfortable. And so you're going to start pushing the boundaries of what's comfortable in terms of your ability to maintain faster movements and higher intensity swimming, higher heart rate, higher respiration rate. You're going to be in, training yourself to execute those same precise movements under more physical discomfort, athletic, positive, healthy, athletic discomfort. And so in those conditions, you're going to start to get more powerful, more resilient under a wider range of situations, conditions, and intensities. And your ability to be able to generate more speed and then sustain more speed will increase. Now, the time it takes for all of these is a very big question, because there's so many factors involved in whether it takes you weeks or months or years. And as you work your way up the scale of performance in your particular potential, there'll be times perhaps early on where you notice big jumps. You know, they come sooner, they come faster, especially when you're initially transforming your technique. You're going to get better, you're going to get faster in more dramatic ways in the beginning. But as you go along, you have to work more for smaller gains. It's just kind of the laws of physics. As you get closer to your ultimate potential, it takes more work to extract less benefit from the system. But if you fall in love with the process and you understand the process and the process rewards you, then you don't mind doing that, because you're being rewarded by the process, and aiming for a little bit more improvement is the very thing that sets up the scenario for you to derive satisfaction from your practice time. But if you're externally rewarded by things, and it's only because once you get to your accomplishment that you feel pleased and satisfied, then, you know, that's a tough scenario, because as you get further up the ladder in performance, your rewards are pushed further out, further away, your external rewards. So I just encourage you to be tapped into the internal rewards, understanding the process, the stages of training that you would go through. And each time you want to make a big overhaul or a significant change, you would perhaps be looking at going through these stages again, where you'd come back and you would spend some time etching a better neural pathway in the brain, and then you would work on strengthening yourself around that pathway, around that movement pattern, and then you would increase the intensity of your workouts to make yourself more powerful with that particular pattern. All right, that's a little explanation there. I do have an article in the dojo that puts a lot of that into text with some charts, so that would be a good supplement to this podcast. It's called The Stages, or Stages of Training, and look it up. And if you have any questions, you let me know. Take care.